Today is the 12th day of August. Welcome. Welcome back around the global campfire. I'm Brian. Welcome back to the Daily Audio Bible. It is with a grateful heart that we gather again in this very special place that we create for each other every day by showing up. And I'm glad you have showed up. I'm glad that I've been able to show up. I'm glad that we're here together. And I'm excited for our next step forward. We are working our way through the book of Nehemiah right now, which is incredibly historical, but very, very rich in its applications in our lives. As we learn to conceive of something and then see it through to its completion. So let's take our next step forward from Nehemiah. Today, chapter 3, verse 15 through 5, verse 13. The fountain gate was repaired by Shallum, son of Kolhozei, the leader of the Mitzpah district. He rebuilt it, roofed it, set up its doors, and installed its bolts and bars. Then he repaired the wall of the pool of Siloam near the king's garden, and he rebuilt the wall as far as the stairs that descend from the city of David. Next to him was Nehemiah, son of Azbuk, the leader of half the district of Bet-Zur. He rebuilt the wall from a place across from the tombs of David's family, as far as the water reservoir and the house of the warriors. Next to him, repairs were made by a group of Levites working under the supervision of Rehum, son of Bani. Then came Hashabiah, the leader of half the district of Keilah, who supervised the building of the wall on behalf of his own district. Next, down the line were his countrymen led by Benui, son of Henadad, the leader of the other half of the district of Keilah. Next to them, Azer, son of Jeshua, the leader of Mitzpah, repaired another section of the wall across from the ascent to the armory near the angle in the wall. Next to him was Baruch, son of Zabai, who zealously repaired an additional section from the angle to the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. Meremoth, son of Uriah, and grandson of Ikaz, rebuilt another section of the wall extending from the door of Eliashib's house to the end of the house. The next repairs were made by the priests from the surrounding region. After them, Benjamin and Hashub repaired the section across from their house, and Azariah, son of Maaseiah, and grandson of Ananiah, repaired the section across from his house. Next was Benui, son of Henadad, who rebuilt another section of the wall from Azariah's house to the angle in the corner. Pilal, son of Uzai, carried on the work from a point opposite the angle and the tower that projects up from the king's upper house beside the court of the guard. Next to him were Pedaiah, son of Perosh, with the temple servants living on the hill of Ophel, who repaired the wall as far as a point across from the water gate to the east and the projecting tower. Then came the people of Tekoa, who repaired another section across from the great projecting tower and over to the wall of Ophel. Above the horse gate, the priests repaired the wall. Each one repaired the section immediately across from his own house. Next, Zadok, son of Immer, also rebuilt the wall across from his own house, and beyond him was Shemaiah, son of Shechaniah, the gatekeeper of the east gate. Next, Hananiah, son of Shelemiah, and Anun, the sixth son of Zelaph, repaired another section, while Meshulam, son of Berechiah, rebuilt the wall across from where he lived. Malchijah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the wall as far as the housing for the temple servants and merchants, across from the inspection gate. Then he continued as far as the upper room at the corner. The other goldsmiths and merchants repaired the wall from that corner to the sheep gate. Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Sumerian army officers, "What does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing? Do they think they can build the wall in a single day by just offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap and charred ones at that?" Tobiah, the Ammonite who was standing beside him, remarked, "That stone wall would collapse if even a fox walked along the top of it." Then I prayed, "Hear us, our God, for we are being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own heads, and may themselves become captives in a foreign land. Do not ignore their guilt. Do not blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger here in front of the builders." At last, the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs, Ammonites, and Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. They all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. But we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. Then the people of Judah began to complain. "The workers are getting tired, and there is so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves." Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, "Before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work." The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, "They will come from all directions and attack us." So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by families armed with swords, spears, and bows. Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, "Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." When our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. But from then on, only half my men worked while the other half stood guard with spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. The laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting their load and one hand holding a weapon. All the builders had a sword belted to their side. The trumpeter stayed with me to sound the alarm. Then I explained to the nobles and officials and all the people, "The work is very spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. When you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to wherever it is sounding. Then our God will fight for us." We worked early and late, from sunrise to sunset, and half the men were always on guard. I also told everyone living outside the walls to stay in Jerusalem. That way they and their servants could help with guard duty at night and work during the day. During this time, none of us, not I, nor my relatives, nor my servants, nor the guards who were with me, ever took off our clothes. We carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water. About this time, some of the men and their wives raised a cry of protest against their fellow Jews. They were saying, "We have such large families. We need more food to survive." Others said, "We have mortgaged our fields, vineyards, and homes to get food during the famine." And others said, "We have had to borrow money on our fields and vineyards to pay our taxes. We belong to the same family as those who are wealthy, and our children are just like theirs. Yet we must sell our children into slavery just to get enough money to live. We have already sold some of our daughters, and we are helpless to do anything about it, for our fields and vineyards are already mortgaged to others." When I heard their complaints, I was very angry. After thinking it over, I spoke out against those nobles and officials. I told them, "You are hurting your own relatives by charging interest when they borrow money." Then I called a public meeting to deal with the problem. At the meeting, I said to them, "We are doing all we can to redeem our Jewish relatives who have had to sell themselves to pagan foreigners, but you are selling them back into slavery again. How often must we redeem them?" And they had nothing to say in their defense. Then I pressed further, "What you are doing is not right. Should you not walk in the fear of our God in order to avoid being mocked by enemy nations? I myself, as well as my brothers and my workers, have been lending the people money and grain. But now let us stop this business of charging interest. You must restore their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and homes to them this very day, and repay the interest you charged when you lent them money, grain, new wine, and olive oil." They replied, "We will give back everything and demand nothing more from the people. We will do as you say." Then I called the priests and made the nobles and officials swear to do what they had promised. I shook out the folds of my robe and said, "If you fail to keep your promise, may God shake you like this from your homes and from your property." The whole assembly responded, "Amen." And they praised the Lord, and the people did as they had promised. First Corinthians 7, 25 through 40. Now, regarding your question about the young women who are not yet married, I do not have a command from the Lord for them. But the Lord in His mercy has given me wisdom that can be trusted, and I will share it with you. Because of the present crisis, I think it is best to remain as you are. If you have a wife, do not seek to end the marriage. If you do not have a wife, do not seek to get married. But if you do get married, it is not a sin. And if a young woman gets married, it is not a sin. However, those who get married at this time will have troubles. And I am trying to spare you those problems. But let me say this, dear brothers and sisters. The time that remains is very short. So from now on, those with wives should not focus only on their marriage. Those who weep or who rejoice or who buy things should not be absorbed by their weeping or their joy or their possessions. Those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them, for this world as we know it will soon pass away. I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please Him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best, with as few distractions as possible. But if a man thinks that he's treating his fiancée improperly and will inevitably give in to his passion, let him marry her as he wishes. It is not a sin. But if he has decided firmly not to marry, and there is no urgency, and he can control his passion, he does well not to marry. So the person who marries his fiancée does well and the person who doesn't marry does even better. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. If her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but only if he loves the Lord. But in my opinion, it would be better for her to stay single. And I think I am giving you counsel from God's Spirit when I say this. Psalm 32, a Psalm of David. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the flood waters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey Him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. Proverbs 21, 5-7. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Wealth, created by a lying tongue, is a vanishing mist and a deadly trap. The violence of the wicked sweeps them away because they refuse to do what is just. Right, so as we were mentioning, beginning the book of Nehemiah, the story is historical, but it carries inside of it strong words of counsel as we pursue a life's calling or our goals and objectives. And when we observe the wisdom that is inside of Nehemiah's decisions and responses, we have a fantastic contrast to the way that we handle things. And as we read, we have the opportunity to maybe, well, see where we are appropriate, but also to reconsider some of the assumptions about why things are or are not working in our plans. So in our reading today, the people do catch the vision that Nehemiah has cast for them to rebuild the wall. And there is passion for it. Progress on the wall moves forward faster than anyone would have hoped. And of course, that would be what we all long for once we've taken some time to pray and plan and launch into a new season or chapter of our story. But, you know, smooth sailing on any kind of plan is rarely the predictable outcome of just about anything in life. And so Nehemiah faces a considerable amount of opposition once this project starts to progress. And we can certainly take heart and learn from the way that he responds. So first up comes this voice of ridicule that surrounds the project that they have embarked on. Right? The enemies come around the work and taunt. What is this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing? They think they can build a wall in a single day? They just offer some sacrifices and the wall's going to just happen? Do they think they can make something out of the stones from the rubbish heap? These charged stones are going to become the wall? So discouraging words are thrown at them to intimidate them and to discourage them. And man, discouraging words thrown at us when we are pouring our time and our resources into something that we truly believe in. Like those discouraging, taunting words can debilitate and freeze us. Nehemiah's response to that discouragement is to cry out to God in prayer and to keep going, to continue forward. We should consider that. Nehemiah stayed connected to God and kept moving forward. And soon the wall was halfway built. So next came the threat of attack. Intimidation didn't work. Discouragement didn't work. So full-blown a threat of attack comes next. As Nehemiah's wall moves from this fantasy, this idea or concept, into something that is plainly visible and advancing, this taunting turns into straight-up intimidation. And Nehemiah didn't negotiate. He didn't find a truce. He instead took the time to arm and prepare the people. He said, "We prayed to God and we guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves." So it's fascinating because discouragement and intimidation are usually enough to throw a dream off course. Because dreams are so much easier to have than the blood and the sweat of actually, like, the work of the dream, of seeing it through. The hazards that were facing Nehemiah, they were real, and they were indeed life-threatening, and they could have derailed the building of that wall. So Nehemiah responds by staying connected to God, and then arming every person, which effectively cut the workforce in half, so that while one person was building, there was another standing guard, which slowed everything way down. But it did not stop progress. And so though everything slowed down by half, progress still continued. And then finally, Nehemiah begins to discover that there is trouble from within. Many of the people weren't able to maintain work on the wall while farming and trading to support their families. And seeing the opportunity, many of the wealthier Jewish exiles preyed upon the less fortunate, causing families to be broken up. Like, slavery became common. Within the Jewish exiles, Nehemiah responds by pulling the community together and pulling all of this, the kind of covert activity, into the light. He says, I called a meeting and I said to them, "We are doing all we can to redeem our Jewish relatives who have had to sell themselves to pagan foreigners. You're selling them back into slavery again. How many times do we have to redeem the same people?" Which silenced the people who were exploiting. So he brought the issue to light, called it for what it was, and caused the perpetrators to repent and offer reparations to those who had been exploited. So in today's reading alone, Nehemiah faces ridicule, actual threat of attack, and the problems from within. And through each of those obstacles, he maintained a connection and devotion to God. He maintained perseverance, and he was unwilling to allow injustice to take place in the dark under his leadership. Those are all absolutely necessary character traits while we navigate our own journey, especially any kind of leadership journey. And as is the case so often within the scriptures, these characteristics are summarized impeccably in the Proverbs today. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Wealth, created by a lying tongue, is a vanishing mist and a deadly trap. The violence of the wicked sweeps them away because they refuse to do what is just. So, Father, we thank you for your word. Another day, we thank you for the book of Nehemiah, the territory that we are currently in. We thank you for all that it surfaces, all that brings to light, and the encouragement that is within it by seeing these patterns play out. Because we have all faced intimidation. We have all faced discouragement. We have all felt threats. And we have probably all felt the debilitating discouragement of problems from within, when everything should be moving in the same direction on the same page. So, thank you for this encouragement as we examine our own life stories and the goals and dreams and objectives of our own lives. We must stay connected to you, and we must continue forward in some fashion, in whatever way that we can, so that we do not give up before we see the completion. Lead us, Holy Spirit, into the truth of that, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. This is home base. It is the website. It is where you find out what's going on around here. The Daily Audio Bible app does that and so much more. So check that out. Check out the community section. Get connected there. Be familiar there. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are so many resources in different categories. Thank you for checking them out. Taking the journey deeper. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, everyone. It's Christy in Kentucky. I wanted to call today to pray for some of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Thank you for this most beautiful day. Father, we ask that you be with Ari as she is moving and she's doing a lot of repair. She has it's an old home and there's some repairs that need to be made. And we know, Father, that you can take all things old and make it new. And so I'm praying that she's asking for wisdom from you as she moves about her day, asking you to show her exactly exactly how to do what she needs to do. We thank you, Father, that we can call on you for that. Lord, we are also praying for her tenants. I'm not quite sure what the prayer would be, but you do. And so we're asking you and just grateful that they have a landlady that appreciates them and that is praying for them. I also wanted to call out to my beautiful friend Candace in Oregon. Girl, I've listened to you for so long. I don't even need to hear your name. I know who you are exactly when you call. And I love you, sister. I am praying for your grandson that his eyes will be open to see Jesus. I'm praying that he will see that the world does not have what he needs to make him happy. And I'm asking the Lord to please send somebody to him that will speak his language. I'm praying for you also as you go to Rwanda. Thank you, Lord, that she has this opportunity. And may she continue to be the light she's always been, Father, and that many souls will be saved because she's preached to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I also wanted to pray today for Jim, who went to have his MRI on July 30th, and I am praying that the outcome was good, that there is no cancer in the name of Jesus. And we're praying for his Uncle David, who has a hole in his lung. He's 80 years old, so we're asking you, Lord, to please touch and heal him. All right, everyone, I love you so very much, and I pray each of you are having a most blessed and lovely day.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible. This is New Eyes in Tennessee, and I just wanted to call in and pray an encouragement over the community. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would encourage your children, encourage us in our marriages, encourage us in our job decisions, encourage us in doctor's reports we may have gotten that aren't so great. Encourage us as we live in community with each other and with our families, as we care for aging parents, as we care for little children and everyone in between. Lord, we ask that you would be with our young adult children who may have gone astray, who are making decisions that we struggle with. Lord, encourage our hearts. Lord, Holy Spirit, come and be our comforter and just deliver your presence in just really tangible ways. Lord, may you open our eyes to the wonder and majesty of who you are in your world and through each other, that we may not be anxious and troubled, but instead see how you provide for us in small ways and trust you. So community, I just want to pray for all of you. I hear your needs. I hear your concerns. And I just want to encourage all of our hearts. You're not alone, and we are all working to build this new heaven and new earth along with the Lord, and we are in community, and we are heard and loved by God. Go in peace. Blessings this week, family.
Morning, Daily Audio Bible family. I just wanted to call in and pray for Bill in the UK. Called in about your trip to your mission trip to Pakistan, and just listening to you and hearing your words, the spiritual attacks have ramped up against you, and it's really so clear, you know, how whenever we begin to do the work of the Lord in our lives, we definitely do come under attack in a spiritual fashion, but he is greater who lives us within us than he who lives in the world. So I just want to lift you up and your wife up and your family. And Lord, I just pray for a hedge of protection around this family. I pray that you put a guard around them that would just protect them from any more attacks. I pray for their minds and their thoughts, that they would be fixed on you, Lord, and not on all the thoughts that the enemy is putting into their minds that may cause problems or division or any sort of issues within their family, and that they would quickly recognize them as being from the enemy who does not want this work to be complete. It's obvious, Lord, that you have great plans here for this, and I just pray for them, for peace in the family, and for a safe trip to Pakistan and for appointments. Even right now, as he ministers, is ministering to them online, Lord, I just pray for that and for your blessings upon this ministry. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Good morning, Dabbers. This is Steve from Northwest Arkansas. It is August the 4th. Just listened to the prayers and heard Cowboy. Such an encouragement. You're just an encouraging guy, and I'll be praying for you, Cowboy. And, you know, if God wants it in the end, he'll provide the means or the miracle. So we're faithful in that. I heard Taylor being prayed for her liver. I also have a friend, Marianne, who's on a liver transplant list and waiting. So we'll be praying for Taylor and ask that you guys would pray for Marianne. Heard some new folks. Prayer Winner from Colorado, welcome. He knows my name, welcome. I heard a great report this morning from Greg about his wife's condition and their family, and just continue to pray for you, brother, and excited for that news. It's on my heart to pray for Valerie from Northwest Arkansas, so I continue to do that, and just wanted to shout out to Valerie and know that we're still praying for you and haven't heard from you in a bit. And Manitha said, you know, she gets a real joy, a kick out of seeing the videos, and that is very cool. So if you haven't looked and got to see everybody's face and hear their testimonies on the video, that's a great thing. So just so encouraged every day by all the Dabbers and hearing people's voices. You just know instantly who it is that's starting to talk, and it is kind of a like hearing a family member. Anyway, I love all you Dabbers, and I'll just pray real quick and ask that you pray along with me. Father God, you are good. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for this community. Thank you for the people that we get to know along the way, Lord. So we lift up these things that we talked about this morning and just lift up all the Dabbers and ask that you bless them and watch over the community, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, community. First-time caller. I've been on board with DAB for 4+ years now, and it has made an amazing difference and change in my life, making this part and parcel to my daily devotional. To actually have a daily devotional is pretty amazing if you know me. God has transformed me, changed me, and I'm grateful for that. I'm in a station in my life right now, like going on 68. Do I contemplate retirement now because I lost my job? Money is an issue. Finances are an issue. I know that compared to, you know, all these life and death issues so many people face, having a job or not having a job really isn't all that. But we talk in terms of what troubles. We talk in terms of what we need help with. And that's what this prayer is for. So I'm requesting help from you folks with DAB in the community to help me find meaningful work, work that pleases God, and work that pays the bills. And maybe I'm not even supposed to be asking for that, but I don't know. As you can tell in my voice and you can tell in my words, there is some doubt. And so I think what I need to do is just continue to go and give myself to God in prayer and devotion, and continue to ask you folks for your prayers and your help. That's it. Thank you for everything, guys.
Please pray for my children. They grew up in a Christian church. I live in Switzerland, but they've all gone astray. I have three, Reuben, Jada, Elia. They're all grown up adults now. But they've all gone astray. They're living in the world. And I just pray that they, for their salvation, that they'll be saved, that they can experience God, and that God can open their spiritual eyes so they can see. Please help me pray with them, pray for them, so they can. I just want their salvation. I don't want them to go astray, and I want them to experience God and his love. Thank you for your prayers. Amen.